Good morning. Today is Tuesday, September the 8th. What are they, Red Dawn?
Boy, Red Dawn I tell you, morning? That sun this morning was amazingly, you can just
red.
Stay right at it. Yeah, I mean, I tried to take a picture, but it failed.
We're watching, Ange found a series on Netflix. Is it called Atlas, I think? Anyway, it's going to Mars. On Mars.
Well, it definitely looked
like Mars.
And it was
like, it looked ready, yes.
Yeah. It's,
oh.
It's definitely smoky out there today.
yeah, interesting stuff. Greg Foster, by the way, is with us from REDEC. Not that that has anything to do with fire, but we certainly have a commentary.
Yeah, there you go. We did look outside this morning.
Winston, you got anything that's semi-fire related or air quality related?
I have something heat related, but there's a whole half page of it, so
no.
I'm not going
to
skip
no.
that one.
We don't need to go to the one-hour version of this. Exactly. That would just frighten people.
There we go. How did a romantic hero come to be called a swashbuckler?
I don't know what a swash is, but maybe he buckles it. A romantic
buckle would be like maybe pants, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Or
he had like big buckled shoes that were called swashes.
I'm thinking it had to do with swords and flowing garments.
Yeah,
I think you've gotten a little bit closer on
that one. It's not the fancy boots?
No. A buckler is a small shield, and to swash is to swish, such as a sword. A swashbuckler swishes his sword and rattles it on his shield or buckler.
Okay.
If you said swish, it would have thrown me entirely in a different direction.
I lose on the boots. I didn't even get close. I've had a bad streak.
Well, you said apparel.
Yes,
you got your 5%.
Okay, perfect.
So I got to believe that there's a whole bunch of different stories and interesting stories that you're hearing.
Tourism
seems to be,
it
surfaced a little bit now, whether or not people are fleeing or if they'll be able to, be out there and this kind of stuff. Do you sense that the virtual educational models are now allowing younger families to travel, where in the past it was, six to eight weeks and that's it. But now with a computer, they can be anywhere.
It could be. We've had that conversation very broadly, not just, families being able to go, but workers being able to go wherever they want. And, but sure, why not? Why not if you have an RV or you can rent an Airbnb, why not do it from there and try to get the kids focused? I one of the things that this whole situation has done is I think more than change the course of where we were heading is it just kind of amplified it or accelerated it. You do see more. Although I think in-person teaching is still the best, coming from a family of teachers.
Yeah, there's a certain slant there.
Right. But, we're also seeing this with workers and people as companies decide, hey, we maybe didn't think the remote model was going to work that well, but it was forced upon us, innovation through desperation, if nothing else. And so I think that's true everywhere. And one of the things we talk about up here is even more broadband. What is the competitive advantage for communities like us, and how's that changed as a result of all this? And when I say all of this, I'm not just talking about the pandemic. I'm talking about, heat, fires, everything else. And all of a sudden we become looking much more attractive up here for a lot of folks.
Well, we certainly are showing signs of that right now. The real estate market and some of the other things. It's curious to me that the commercial side of the real estate ledger isn't hardly moving.
Yeah.
But maybe that's that whole concept of off-site working. I wrote down workers' comp. I mean, that certainly puts a whole different twist onto things because, if you're inside the building, okay, you're covered. If you're out on the road and you're, road warrior, you're covered. If you stay at home,
and slip in the bathroom.
Now you catch yourself doing whatever it might happen to be. Nobody's gone into your house to see if it's safe. Nobody's The safety stuff that happens in another situation. Does workers' comp transfer across? Is anybody even talking about things along those lines, indicating a more permanency?
You know, there have been some discussions about that, and even like we at the Small Business Development Center and the broader network have really have been talking to employers about the implications of you know, pivoting to this where people are working at home model. And so it's raising a whole bunch of different questions. And quite honestly, you know, systems, especially governmental systems, but even, you know, companies that, you know, may provide services to businesses, it takes, you know, this all happens so fast. Certain systems are struggling to keep up and catch up. And we're trying to learn, you know, I think all of us trying to learn new ways of doing business that maybe are a little more quick, you know, because
or quicker to respond.
Right. I mean, yeah. this was thrust upon us as opposed to a natural evolution where, you know, things kind of, oh, yeah, let's try this incremental sort of innovation. And all of a sudden it's like, boom. And of course that created a lot of problems, but I think it also created some opportunities and, you know, a good kick in the butt for some of these organizations that like really think about being more efficient. And even, you know, we're even having that discussion, you know, my staff works most, you know, part-time in the office now, but still a lot of them are working from home. And when this first happened, you know, we had a day or two warning and we immediately distributed. You know, we didn't come in. We distributed our IT so that we could all work remotely and change some of our systems. And, you know, we found it that some of the stuff we were doing prior to this was a little old and old-fashioned. And so now we're doing a lot more efficient work in some ways. And, you know, I think every company or business or even person gets really comfortable in their current situation and then don't like to change unless it's forced upon them.
Well, sure. You know, it's probably reminiscent of when computers started coming in.
Exactly.
Or fax machines.
Exactly.
Yeah, I lived through both of those. That's
kind of... No, that's the problem. We both remember.
Yeah. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Greg Foster, the executive director at REDEC. Greg, considering some of you use the phrase innovation through desperation. Or
Yeah, right.
That's... Yeah. What are some of the cool ideas that you've heard of? I mean, you got your net is a little broader than many.
Right.
What are some of the cool things that you know? Yeah.
What... You know, one of the things that, and this is a small example, but a few of the customers in my, you know, loan portfolio, as this began to happen, these are retail, like restaurants and that kind of thing. The collaborations that I saw where, you know, the restaurant would be open or their bar would, you know, have a limited menu or the restaurant would have a limited menu, but then they invited... I'm thinking of Six Rivers Brewery, for example. They got shut down right away. And Meredith and Talia, who are pretty aggressive go-getters, they said, "Okay, how do we pivot?" And so they invited another one of my REDEC customers, Taste of BIM. They
one of the trucks,
up, yeah, set up there, and they were doing all sorts of stuff out in the patio and out in the parking lot. So not only was it, you know, we can make better use of the space and do certain things, but then the collaboration between different folks. I thought that was pretty cool. And you know, I actually like, and this is, again, small innovations, but, or small changes. watching and seeing all the restaurants kind of move outside, and even though they can open up now inside the 50% capacity or whatever, a lot of them are still doing stuff outside. And I know the weather can be challenging here, but you know, I've seen in Ferndale, it'd be a foggy evening and people are outside. They put the heaters on and people, you know, love it. I'll be sitting out and talk to people as they walk by, and the locals.
You yell at them as they walk past the sidewalk.
Right, okay. Right there. And you know, the locals even are saying, you know, why haven't we been doing this before? And I had someone saying, you know, we ought to once a week or once a month in Ferndale close all of Main Street and just put the food out there and have everybody come out. So that kind of getting people outside and I think that's kind of innovative. You know, on the other side, of course, you know, Zoom, which is both a savior and the bane of my existence. Looking at all the collaboration and the work that's being done with that has been amazing. And we have seen more... I think more collaboration among organizations and businesses, in fact, as a result of this. It kind of forced us to communicate more efficiently and work more efficiently. So, you know, share documents.
Do you think the communication is more efficient now?
I think so in some ways because you really have at least in my experience, we've had a much more fixed time meetings, you know, where it's like, okay, and you have to less
BS waiting for somebody.
And you have to, you can't use your body language and some other things to facilitate. So you're using your words and you're trying to, I think you're paying even more attention in some level, which is kind of funny because you're at home. But for me, I've got all these people on the screen. I coordinate 3 calls a week. Well, I coordinate more than that, but I have 3 set calls a week with about 30 people on.
So what if everybody's screen was black?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now we're really talking non-visual.
Right.
Right? Okay. Would that make it a more efficient or less efficient?
I guess it depends on the person.
Yeah. The distractions might be a little bit less, but I wonder if the communication.
You know, I find that having the picture on better as a call, you know, when I'm coordinating, because I can see what everyone's doing to a certain extent. And so if they're kind of paying attention or writing or whatever else, or read, when I facilitate a meeting, I often want to read facial expressions and body language to see what people are thinking and doing. You know, when I do the Zoom calls, you know, we have a written record in the chat, and then we can also record them. So, you know, we're able to follow up immediately. So, you know, we're being a lot more efficient that way. You know, people are doing a lot more with, this is why it's important that we continue, you know, with the work we've already done here and continue to do it is in the broadband infrastructure. You know, people are doing much more business transactions, the medical, telemedicine. You know, we have some real innovators up here, one of them being Resolution Care, that really is an innovator and a leader in telemedicine. And that's become even more important now. And so I actually learned Zoom, I think, 2 or 3 years ago when it was kind of a small thing by working with one of my customers. Again, that was Resolution Care, who does consultations with their patients through Zoom. And I thought, well, this is pretty cool. Take pictures, you know, see each other. I'll never probably really use it much, but, you know, it's good for a one-off meeting once in a while, or if you don't want to drive out or something. And, of course, now we live on it. And
yeah, it's intriguing for me. Both Ange and I are getting just a huge itch. But the whole... the benefit of so many conventions, and you know, you go to a lot of those. It's not the meeting,
right? Well,
and so how, you know, when you said efficient, I'm thinking, okay, we have different levels of efficiency and different magnitudes,
right?
And I wonder, long run, if this was, let's say, 2 years,
right?
More efficient, less efficient.
I'll give you the politician's answer, even though I'm not.
Okay, it depends.
And you're right. The face-to-face work, which is critical in many businesses, including, you know, where I do the airline stuff, the face-to-face work where you're sitting down and, you know,
across the table, literally across the table,
exactly. That is missed, and that's got to return at some level. But you know, hopefully, we'll get there soon.
It's 8:30.
Hi, my name is Keith Lund. I am an electrician for Owsley Electric. You can go into a trade, be 18, become a trainee. They do require some education. You have 120 hours of classroom education, plus you have to work 2,000 hours a year. So after 4 years, then you can go out and work for another company, getting your own certificate, become your own boss. There's quite a few options you can do.
Own your future and learn more about the Trades Academy at hcoe.org.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Greg Foster from REDEC. Talk shop presented by the same entity, Murphy's Markets, CDH Painting, Baywood, and Humboldt Termite and Pest Control. Greg, looking at some of the different challenges that are out there, before the show, you mentioned 101 is still closed.
Yep.
With the fire. Okay. When we think of being isolated, we normally think about flood.
Right.
Well,
right.
I guess flood and earthquake.
You know, right.
Fire is certainly becoming more of a regular, and it's not necessarily here, but it's next to here.
Right.
That's
right.
Causing some of the issues. So when we talk about being on an island, this cutesy thing with the energy, do we really think we're on an island, or are we just kind of using that as an analogy for one sector?
Right.
Or for this? Or,
right, right.
You know, okay, now with the road closed, and let's say 299 has an issue with that fire, bread.
Right.
Milk. Whoops. Now we're right back kind of in the same boat, but there's not a quick fix.
I always like to say that we're remote, but we're not isolated. And
we have to adjust that one now.
Yeah,
huh?
Exactly. And so, you know, that's why you need this hardened infrastructure. And, you know, I'll use that infrastructure word broadly. In fact, it's the argument we made, gosh, 20 years ago. I hate to say
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I know. I went there too with the aging thing.
Exactly. But we, you know, when AT&T and ended up being SBC that ended up putting in the single fiber optic line that connected us, we saw, of course, immediately a huge growth in the amount of connectivity that we had here because we had that fiber optic line, and prior to that we were just using microwave, so you couldn't get certain high you know, broadband circuits as defined back then. And and so the group you know, of us, and this idea didn't originate with me necessarily, but all of us together sort of saying, well, one's good, but one's very vulnerable. And so if we becoming with that installation of that single fiber optic line, we're all becoming much more dependent on broadband because we're immediately going over to there. Then if that goes down, you know, what will happen? And so we begin to immediately advocate for the second fiber optic line. And what was funny is, you know, the company that was running the first said, oh, no, this is engineered to be, you know, we have backup plans.
Withstand tobacco. Right.
And then, you know, the day after Christmas, there was a fire and, a telephone pole or something down near Willits, and it cut us off. And so it was the best, you know, it was our best argument because we weren't getting a whole lot of traction on the second line until we had four outages in a year. And then we got a lot more traction. And so that's, you know, that's true. You know, the further you get out, logistics is critical. And that's highway, it's broadband, it's air, it's everything.
So do we have, you know, most folks, if we have redundancy, we feel pretty comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Double redundancy is seeming to be now the standard.
Right.
Do we have redundancy? Do we have double redundancy? How exposed are we, particularly as we are more and more discovered by more and more people, the consulting, the off, whatever you might want to call it, the relocates, the medicals, all this kind of stuff. Having redundancy doesn't really feel 100% comfortable. And particularly when you talk to your buddies all over the country, they go, what do you mean? We never have an outage. And we have a hurricane come through. We don't have an outage. It's back up within 2 hours.
Right.
Because they got 10 or 12 different sources rather than onesies, twosies.
Exactly. So we had the one, you know, I'm talking about broadband now. Obviously, we had the one that came in, then we got the second one put in 2011 to 36. And now there's progress and on the third coming in from 299, and then the cable landing coming in from Singapore. I believe that's where it's coming from, out there at the Harbor District. And so so we'll have even more. And that's, you're absolutely right. And it's, you know, whether it's roads or it's electrical grids or whatever else. I mean, we learned that with the power, and we have a long experience of power outages here, you know, storm related, right? You know, I think we all got a little surprised when we had the PSPS and we were islanded. We weren't islanded, and our power went out because of somewhere else. And so now they've made the technological, I guess, and policy fixes to allow us to not be turned off when things are going on elsewhere in the state. So, you know, it's not only just redundancy, it's having some self-reliance as well. And
competencies. Well, to be able to take advantage of it.
Yeah. So, you know, we talk about this a lot around local farmers and ag folks, you know, and it's like, well, you know, there were some, are we at risk for some food shortages, and do we have enough production capability here to do certain things? You know, it's all of that. So, one of the things we did learn, I think, when we are learning, is about how long logistic lines are for certain things, and maybe we need to rethink some of that a little bit as we move through these.
Don't say it.
Disasters.
Okay, thank you. KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:41.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Greg Foster. Maybe it's lightening up a little bit outside.
A little bit. I'm looking out the other window.
Fresh
here.
Water.
It's real smoky out.
Yeah, the valley will just get it drawn right up into it.
Good it looks day like to maybe stay a little
bit. Yeah, good day for a slight breeze.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
a onshore.
Send it
nice.
Back to them. Yeah,
a little onshore would be nice.
Oh. So with some of the different challenges that are out there, and I think we're recognizing what's going on, Greg, are there recommendations, are there businesses, obviously there are business opportunities, but are there things that you're telling and advising some of your businesses that, okay, if we're going to have smoke,
right?
Okay, you don't change your filters every 6 months, you change them every 2 months. I mean, just little reminder types of things like that that are kind of like regular maintenance things, but we never think about it because we're never in this stuff.
Right. I think we've all become much more aware of health and safety, obviously, as a result. And even around our office, you know, it's like, oh, maybe we ought to, you know, after the conference room, and, you know, this is goes with colds and flus. Maybe we ought to, after each conference, you know, after each meeting in the conference room, not that they're having any right now, but maybe we ought to just wipe down the tables all the time, you know, because
just down the road, yeah.
I know in our office, you know, we hear one person sneeze in the back, and then 2 days later, we all have colds. And that's preventable, right? And we lose production as a result, you know.
But we never thought about
those types of things. Accepted it.
Forefront, like, yeah.
Exactly. But and there's a huge cost of that, you know. Absenteeism due to illness is a big thing. So there's all that. You know, it's interesting. The other thing is as much as you can, preserve your cash. And even the airlines learned that, you know. United and some of these other airlines that were hugely successful in, you know, the last few years, you know, were buying back their own stock and doing other things like that, which used up a lot of their cash. And then this hit, they took a 95% hit in their business. Cash is king. Well,
let me ask you.
Yeah.
Okay, cash is king for a number of reasons. Obviously, the longevity of holding out.
Right.
But there's opportunities also.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say, which takes a higher priority? Liquidity or opportunity. Opportunity might be, okay, so-and-so just closed. I can now jump into that market and maintain that.
Sure.
Okay. Buying products.
Right.
You know, your vendors
right.
may have sales or offering financing and things of that nature that they weren't before, so that they keep their engine going.
Right. Well, and so it's a good question. I mean, from a lender's perspective, who likes to get paid every month, liquidity is very important.
Sure. Well, both are important.
Yeah, right.
But how do you moderate the two?
Exactly. Well, and it's even tougher now to predict the future, although thankfully the state has finally changed their way they do some of their pandemic stuff so that we have these colors now and we have a little more predictability from our standpoint. In as much as we don't get lumped in with the
predictability, but lack of local autonomy.
Yeah,
that's the trade-off.
Yeah,
I mean, there's always those trade-offs.
Right, and but there, you know, the whole uncertainty of the future is the thing that can kill a business. Right, when you just can't quite predict or even come close to predicting what the trend is going to be, your tendency is to hole up and wait, and so that hurts investment. You know, as long as we can keep ourselves in that orange or yellow, you know, we're pretty attractive and maybe we see some growth. And I'm working with a couple businesses right now that are doing really well. And so they were surprised as well as us. And we're going to do some big investments for them. But, you know, in the first half of the year, we were working with them and this pandemic hit and immediately they clamped down on the project. They clamped down on everything else because they were uncertain.
Sure.
And
yeah,
but well, sales went well, and now they're more confident.
A little bit more certain.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks for coming by. Let's get some clean air out there.
Yeah,
today,
I'm about ready to go. I don't know where.
All right, go
find some smoke.
Yeah, go have some fun.
Yeah.
See everybody else tomorrow.